Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, our third and final on this Wednesday morning. We've already gotten into so much over the first 2 hours. NFL training camp news and notes all around the National Football League. Big Ten Media Days live in Indianapolis with Rhett Lewis, the last pitcher to win the Rookie of the Year Award and the Cy Young Award in the same year, Fernando Valenzuela. I think I said that right. I don't know. My mind is in a pretzel. We've recapped everything around Major League Baseball. We'll preview the MLB slate here in our third and final hour and some more Olympic soccer talk with an upset potentially brewing early in the first match of the Olympics over in Paris between Argentina and Morocco. So much to get into here, DRS, in this third and final hour to boot.
Yep, teeing everything up, and also a nice little Major League Baseball slate that starts this afternoon, so get some eyes on the prize. But it's nice to have the Olympics. We always love more sporting events during the day, and the fact that that time zone change from here,
for sure,
obviously over to France, that's going to be a big difference. So we'll be able to watch some afternoon action over the next 2 weeks, so I'm looking forward to it.
With our knowledge and with some knowledge from our friends, we'll have Kyle Bond on from the Sporting News. We'll have Mike DeCourcy. We'll have various members out here that are kind of more in tune with what we are going to see to preview those Olympic events over these next 2.5 weeks. We'll have some opportunities throughout the early line and to set the stage 4 days in the Olympics to hopefully find some handicapping value. There are so many potential wagers to bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but we wanted to know your interest in these international events. We do that to start off this third and final hour in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, which event held every 4 years do you enjoy the most? Your options: the Summer Olympics, the Winter Olympics, the World Cup. Nearly 45% of the votes coming in on the World Cup. Will they focus on soccer? Summer Olympics second, nearly 34%. The Winter Olympics bringing up the rear a little bit more than 21% of this vote. What got the vote of one, Donnie Wrightside?
I'm actually surprised it was this close and this even all the way through, 44%, 33%, and 21%. I actually did vote World Cup. He said, well, why would you do that?
Oh, wow.
I'm not a big soccer guy. The bigness of the event, because I really enjoyed the last World Cup that we had, certainly looking forward to the next one. I just like the fact that, you know, the whole world engages in this. You got games all throughout the day, and I do think it's fun to have that sort of national pride. Now, granted, no one's going to have national pride with the Olympics itself, too. The Olympics here in the United States, the Summer Olympics, we usually dominate them, struggle a little bit in the winter. I like the nice contrast of sports. So it's not as if I'm saying like the Summer or Winter Olympics are bad. And quite frankly, they got a good amount of votes there. I just think the bigness out of the World Cup, and it seems like year after year, should I say World Cup after World Cup, seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger at this point too. And also the expansion of the World Cup, we always like to see more teams in more games. You're going to have that in the World Cup coming up. So I voted World Cup, about 45% of the people. I didn't fade the public today.
The next World Cup in the summer of 2026 here on American soil, yeah. North American soil, with Canada and Mexico hosting a couple of matches as well. Speaking of the Olympics, Olympic soccer right now looks a little bit different, as Kyle Bond from Sporting News previewed for you earlier in our second hour. The format is different for the 16 international nations that compete in men's soccer. It's a youth tournament under 23 with a couple of spaces on the roster for some more of those senior members. And because the talent gaps are not nearly as wide as you might see in a World Cup or other international soccer tournaments, there could be some upsets. Spain took an early lead against Uzbekistan in its opener, but Uzbekistan has drawn even at the half, 1-1 between Uzbekistan and the Spanish side. And Argentina is down at the break, 1-0 against Morocco. The Argentines minus 170 to win this match from a money line perspective. Spain still minus 120 against Uzbekistan, but plus 160 for that draw. So some value for us potentially, at least in the in-game live wagering perspective. I still voted for the Summer Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics, not for the sports that we often see or praise on an international or even national level. I love the U.S. in basketball, but I don't really care all that much. Women's basketball, they're going to run away with a gold medal for the eighth straight time. I love swimming. I love track and field. I love gymnastics. I voted for the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, no, and I can't hate on that because the Summer Olympics are quite fun to watch. And also, they're not sports that we watch on a day-to-day basis. Like, track and field gets a lot of exposure in the Olympics, but not so much outside of the Olympics. Just fun to see the evolution of, you know, even 15, 20, 30 years ago, how fast some of these guys and girls run, now actually taking it to a next level. We have some really good sprinters here on the U.S. side to keep an eye on and keep track of. And, of course, basketball is always, that's like our national pastime, it feels like, here in the United States. And quite frankly, the best two teams are Team USA on both sides, men's and women. So we should be dominating and having fun in the Olympics. It's always fun to watch a winner, right? You don't want to sit back and like, man, Team USA is supposed to come in seventh here getting routed on a day-to-day basis. We don't want to see it at this point. We want to see winners. And typically in the summer, we get a lot of winners on Team USA.
Yes, we do. The gold medal favorites at minus 550 to have the most golds by the time the Summer Olympiad in Paris comes to a close. 40 and a half is the over-under for the amount of gold medals the Americans will win on the FanDuel Sportsbook across a variety of sports. Of course, hefty favorites to win in basketball on both sides. We'll give you some Olympic watch lists and what we're most looking forward to later on in this third hour. It is going to be incredibly exciting stuff over the next 2.5 weeks over in Paris in France. Again, a 6-hour time difference. Paris in front of us. So right now it's a little bit after 4 p.m. local time there in Paris. It's not that large of an international time zone difference. So we'll be able to watch some things live and in the afternoon. The opening ceremonies come our way on Friday. Again, a reminder, LeBron James carrying the flag, as is Coco Gauff. Those are the two American flag bearers for Team USA at the opening ceremonies. DRS, you ever bought one of the Polo Ralph Lauren or Loren, I guess, any Loren of the Olympic gear? You ever been sporting that as we get ready for the Olympics?
I don't think so, but I did. Oh, by the way, you like this. Summer of 1992. Yeah, now, I'm going to give you a little guess here. Probably easy to guess.
Barcelona?
I did have. I guess it was Barcelona 92, I believe. Yes. I did buy a Team USA basketball jersey. Which Team USA basketball player's jersey did I buy?
Don't even have to ask. It's one of two people. It's Larry Bird or Christian Laettner. That's it.
I rocked a Christian Laettner jersey that summer, post eighth grade heading into high school. I mean, fantastic stuff. It's got to be around here somewhere. I got to be able to find that somewhere.
Would it still fit?
No, doubt it.
Okay. I wanted to see. Yeah. Because if we could get Donnie Wrightside to put that on this show before the Olympic men's basketball opener, I guess that's Sunday against Serbia. So whatever day we have a game during the broadcast of the early line. Oh, you imagine Donnie Wrightside entering his high school senior year, maybe a little bit later on in college at a day party, walking a dream team Christian Laettner jersey. Thing would have gone triple.
I mean, I was in eighth grade. Yeah, it wasn't my senior year. I was going into high school at that point. So, you know, little DRS at that point. Not ready to go DRS into the world. So, a little bit different at that point.
Might be. But still, later on, truth still holds. Early 2000s, day drink, Donnie, football offseason at WP, rocking the Leitner Dream Team jersey. Would have had to stiff arm him off you.
Would have been tremendous to watch it play out. Yeah, let's get some reels here from back in college, see if I can dig out some, just casual DRS in college. Like, not playing sports, just me being me.
With the earrings, right? The diamond earrings. Studs or the hoops?
Earrings, silver chain. I had a silver chain in college, too, as well.
Yeah,
high
did.
School, I did it. Yeah, high school, I did have the gold chain with the little number 13 and the matching number 13 earring as well. I was ready to go.
Oh, my God.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Less than a week away. Only 6 days left until the MLB trade deadline on this now upcoming Tuesday, July 30th. So that news and plenty more around MLB on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Our MLB insider, the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Craig Mish, joins us live right here on this Wednesday on TEL. Craig, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Very little of the trade front, right? Like, baseball, they love those deadlines for everything. It's almost as if this is the only sport that can act on deadlines. Like, nothing happens until you know that it has to happen. And so we're definitely trending in that direction.
Into the closing hour, into those final minutes, I want next Tuesday, daily basis, Craig on the horn trying to figure out where Mike Trout might be getting traded. We'll talk about Trout for another reason in just a moment. But it's a Wednesday. It's time to touch them all. It's time for the daily basis. So, Craig, let's head to first. It was supposed to be the first of many times we would see Mike Trout for the remainder of this summer, yesterday in a Triple-A rehab game for the Halos. But after just two innings, Mike Trout was pulled due to knee soreness. What does this do for Trout's status the remainder of this season?
It seems to me that at this point, there's been such little buzz about a potential Trout trade that it looks like he's going to finish the season with the Angels. I still maintain it would be in the best interest of the Angels to move him, whether it's now or at the end of the season in the winter. So I anticipate that will happen. For now, it does not look like a major setback for Trout, but with the team being out of it, Ben, at this stage, it just doesn't seem like there's any rush to bring him back. So my guess is a couple of days off. And then they'll try again on this rehab. But I am a little surprised that his name has not come up at all anywhere as far as trade circles or rumors are concerned. I haven't heard anything. This is a player, I think, that needs a new home. I hope he gets it in the offseason.
Would be fun to see if he was on the move and healthy at that point, but certainly this would be a setback with a week to go here before the trade deadline. I tell you, he's not having a setback right now. That's Paul Skenes, was tremendous yesterday, even in a losing effort. If we look at the Cy Young award-winning market here, Zach Wheeler had a good performance yesterday. He improved. Chris Sale's going to pitch today. Looks like a three-man race here, Sale, Wheeler, and Skenes. How do you think this shapes up here for the Cy Young market here down the stretch?
Very close. Could come down to the last week of the season. Mm-hmm. Skenes has gained so much ground and starting in that All-Star game, although he doesn't get any votes for that, that's not going to hurt him. You could make the case that he had the best start since he was a big leaguer yesterday, going very deep into the game, throwing over 100 pitches, unfortunately gave up a couple of runs and lost. But I think he's very much in the mix. It's absolutely a three-player race at this point. Skenes is going to get votes. In order for him to win, the Pirates have to be in it to the end, or else you're not going to see him at the end of the season. There's no question that the Pirates are going to protect him over all else. They pulled him from a no-hitter. I believe they'll pull him from a Cy Young Award chance. So I do think Sale and Wheeler accurately are favored there at the top. In order for Skenes to win it, I think he's got to be pitching in September. Pirates have to stay in it.
The Buccos are in it as of right now, just a game and a half back of the third and final NL wildcard spot, a game above 500. But that's certainly what Pittsburgh's strategy is with Skeens should factor into your NL Cy Young handicap. An emerging bright young star, Paul Skeens in the National League on the bump. Same at the dish in the American League with Bobby Witt Jr. The $280 million man has been worth every single cent here for KC this year, especially in the month of July, batting .492 with 6 home runs, 16 RBIs, despite yesterday being a porous game on relative standards, just 1-for-4 with an RBI double in the opening frame for KC. A 7-to-1 price to win American League MVP. Aaron Judge, still the hefty odds on favorite at greater than a $3 number. But Craig, as I alluded to, an emerging star, not just in the AL in Kansas City, but in all of Major League Baseball. What should the baseball public know about Bobby Witt Jr.?
Well, look, he plays a premium position at shortstop, and you can begin there. And I think that, Ben, as you look at the success of teams that have gone to the World Series and even potentially won the World Series, you almost have to have a great shortstop at that position. We've seen it so many times in the past. Trey Turner in Philadelphia, Seager in Texas. I mean, just look at the World Series winner. Tell me who they had at shortstop, and it's probably somebody who's a superstar. Witt, there's no question, is a superstar. We knew this from the time that he was a high school player all the way here. His father pitched in the big leagues for the Texas Rangers many years ago. I remember him pitching, actually, sadly, to tell you that how old I am. I remember Bobby Witt as a member of the Texas Rangers. I went to the All-Star game. Everybody was cheering for him in the home run derby. And so, look, it's very hard to beat that New York writer bias for any award, even with a year that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has, Aaron Judge is mentioned. You know, it's Otani's going to win? Nah, maybe it's Aaron Judge. Maybe it's Soto. So it's hard to beat New York when you're Kansas City in terms of popularity. But there's no doubt to me that Witt, probably, I would say, fair to say, Ben, top three player in Major League Baseball right now.
A lot of times, Craig, we're talking about Tarek Skubal possibly being on the move before the deadline, but another good pitcher that we've been talking about also is the Chicago White Sox, Garrett Crochet, 3.07 ERA on the season. Not a great performance yesterday, 4 innings pitched, only about 74 pitches overall. The chances that he is on the move, probably highly likely, right?
I think so. I mean, the Skubal stuff to me, I don't buy it at all. We talked about this yesterday. It makes no sense to me. The White Sox are very far away. They can't even get the number one overall pick in the draft with the lottery with the new CBA rules, guys. The White Sox are going to have the worst record in baseball and not eligible to get the number one pick. So they're several years away, and Crochet could get you several pieces back. I think for a team that trades for him also has to understand, I mean, guys, is a very young player who's never thrown 200 innings. What is he going to even be like in September, in October? You're kind of trading for now, but also trading for the future. It does make sense for the White Sox to do this because, again, 2-3 years at the very least before they're back on the map again. Certainly more of a possibility for me to see him traded than Skubal. I don't understand that one at all.
Crochet on the bump yesterday for Chicago. 2 earned over 4 innings of work, striking out 7 in only 4 innings, but did register the loss. The White Sox lost. They have lost 9 straight. They are 27-76. They're the only team without 30 wins in MLB, the only one with less than 36. It's bad. Craig Mish is never bad. He's great, Craig. We appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2024 Summer Olympic Games now officially underway as of this Wednesday over in Paris. Wait, I thought you guys said opening ceremonies were on Friday under the Eiffel Tower. They are, but because of some longer and drawn-out tournaments like during soccer or the rugby sevens, we have Olympic action as of this Wednesday. We're fired up here on the Early Line. We give you each our Olympic watch list and the things we are most excited for and intrigued by for the Paris Olympic Games. Donnie Wrightside, as we look at a sport to watch that interests you the most throughout the Olympic Games, which one are you most keyed up on?
Track and field, man. track and field's where it's at this point, because you want to see the speed out there. Like Sha'Carri Richardson, we know she's probably going to be in line for a gold medal, at least a legitimate chance. But also on the men's side, we love that just as much. Now, we might not have Usain Bolt, which was so much fun to watch over the past years there from Jamaica, but Jamaica is always in the, I mean, speed demons down there. Kishane Thompson, I hope I'm saying that correct, is the favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 130 price. Noah Lyles for USA, plus 165. So you have two people up top there that are probably going to go toe-to-toe. We just hope they both make the final and are healthy, and we'll get some pretty good action. But I do like the track and field because we all love to watch the speed out there on the track.
And one of the great things about the FanDuel Sportsbook at this moment, we've got wagering opportunities on pretty much everything you could imagine. Not every event or every venue or every individual will have a price associated, but badminton's listed. We've got beach volleyball. We've got boxing. We've got fencing. We've got field hockey. Handball is listed. There is a lot that the FanDuel Sportsbook is laying a number on, including track and field, that we'll talk a little bit more about in just a moment. My favorite sport during the Olympic Games in these summer months, that's swimming. Can't wait to see what we will see in the pool. Why? Because some of my first memories about the Olympiad, Michael Phelps going for 8 or 7 gold medals back in 2008 at Beijing. I remember each and every night, Donnie, in my house growing up with my mom, my dad, my sister, sitting on the couch watching Phelps running around the house screaming USA, USA, as he was in that historic race to win every gold medal he possibly could. I mean, just some great memories that I have, the nostalgia of it. It's why I love the action in Olympic swimming. Katie Ledecky, a superstar for the Americans. I can't wait to see what we will see in the pool over in Paris.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, too, because the United States here, man, the track record here is having a very good, you know, Summer Olympic run since the Summer Olympics, basically, what, over the past 40 or so years, just looking from that perspective. But from the pool side of it, it used to be way back in the day, like Mark Spitz was that guy that dominated in the pool, shattering all those records. I mean, we've had some unbelievable performances in the pool from some men and female competitors, man. It's been great stuff.
You've been great stuff. Team USA, by the way, minus 370 to win the 4x100 meter relay in men's swimming. That's when Jason Lezak, I believe the name is, came all the way back against the French or the Australians to capture gold. Oh, some great memories indeed. An athlete to watch, DRS, that you are most excited for at the Paris Olympics.
Look, I want somebody that's going to win a gold medal. That's what I want to watch and cheer on. And Sha'Carri Richardson here coming up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 170 price to win the gold medal. And also, you go back and take a look at over the history of qualifying for the last Olympics, getting disqualified due to a drug test, not saying, oh, everything's unfair, getting her life back on track with the Olympics and running right through this thing. An Olympic gold medal for Richardson, I think it's on deck here. She's the favorite to do it. She gets it done.
Yeah. Extra motivation, a little bit of weed. Yep. Who cares? Sha'Carri Richardson plays them on and off the track. She is the hefty favorite at minus 170 to win the 100 meter in women's track and field, to be the fastest woman on planet Earth. What a distinction that is. Speaking of people that slightly disappointed, at least based on expectation, in the recent Summer Olympic Games, Simone Biles, of course, dealing with some mental health issues back in 2021 in Tokyo. She is the favorite to win the all-around in the gold medal in women's gymnastics. She is a superstar, one of the biggest celebrities at the Olympic Games. She will get it done for Team USA. Excited to see her reinvigoration back at the Olympiad. My storyline to watch, track and field. You mentioned Noah Lyles earlier, the hefty favorite to win the 200 meter. Can he be the fastest man on planet Earth with Sha'Carri Richardson taking home the fastest woman on planet Earth? The two fastest people on planet Earth being Americans would be good. Quickly, DRS, your storyline.
Men's basketball. Let's see if LeBron James is going to carry the flag and carry Team USA to a gold medal and go down as the single greatest basketball player in the history of the world.
The Diamond Dash around MLB on this Wednesday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Subway Series finale, not only for this short two-game set between the inner-city rivals in the Big Apple this week in the Bronx, but for all four meetings this year. Will the Amazons pull off the season sweep, take it all four games against the Pinstripes, or will the Yankees finally get on the board tonight inside Yankee Stadium? Gerrit Cole is the starter for the Bombers, minus 164, that updated number on the money line. But the Mets have been an underdog in all four games against the Yanks. They are, once again, plus 138. Sean Manaea gets the start for the Mets. Over-under is 8.5. Will the Yankees finally win a game against their city rivals in the Mets?
It is going to be a close one here, and here's the reason why we're posting this now. Is you look at Manaea on the mound. He's actually had a pretty good, decent run here over the past 120 batters he's faced, which is the last month. A 112 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage of 276. But here's the issue. Sometimes we just look at the starting pitchers, okay, but it's really how the other team lines up. And left-handed pitching has really gotten the best of the New York Yankees over the past month. If we're looking at Jones, Davis, Volpe, Torres, Verdugo, Narvaez, and LeMahieu in that lineup, look at these ISO power numbers against left-handed pitching over the past month. 091, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, and 0. Outside of Soto and Judge, who, again, maybe the game plan from yesterday is going to come to fruition for many other teams here, which includes the Mets in day number two of the Subway Series, just don't pitch to those two guys. Everybody else has been terrible, and you just take your chances that some person behind Judge is going to be able to come up big, which they weren't able to do last night. Also, if you take a look at Gerrit Cole, not the great pitcher that we saw last year, still trying to work himself back in. He's got some elevated numbers over his last 112 batters, and quite frankly, the Mets have done very well against right-handed pitching. So for my money today, the Yankees aren't the better team, even with Gerrit Cole on the mound. Pitch around Aaron Judge in the middle of that lineup. We'll go with the Mets today. How about that?
The Mets have won the first three games of the four in this season against the Yankees. So they've already taken the season series win. They're looking for the season series sweep and, of course, to win these two games this week in the Bronx. Before this series got underway, a tie, a split of the two-game series was the favorite number on the FanDuel Sportsbook at minus 102. The Yankees to win both in the Bronx, plus 164. The Mets to pull the upset in both, plus 440 like they did back at the end of June about a month ago in Citi Field. The Mets have had the Yankees number this year. We'll see if it continues into the fourth and final game between these two sides this season in 2024. So far this week, the Dodgers have had the number of their California rivals from up north, that being San Francisco. The Dodgers winning yesterday 5-2 over the Giants. Five straight wins for LA since returning from the All-Star break. And some more good news, perhaps, on this Wednesday evening. Tyler Glasnow gets the start for Los Angeles, his first outing since July 5th. In his last two starts prior to the All-Star break and then going on that short-term IL, he gave up 10 earned. That's five earned runs in each of his last two. But back today, healthy, ready to go. The Dodgers a minus 188 favorite against San Francisco tonight at the Ravine.
Yeah, two pitchers that, quite frankly, haven't done a lot of pitching over at least the past month. Robbie Ray hasn't done much pitching at all in Major League Baseball this year, trying to get ready and coming back through the minor league system. Tough to go up against the Dodgers, but he is a left-handed pitcher, and those left-handed batters in the lineup today, Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman, actually have elevated number against left-handed pitching. No surprise, they're two great hitters, but the rest of that lineup leaves a lot to be desired. Outside of Will Smith and Teoscar Hernandez, who's been sensational since coming back from the All-Star break, Páez, Vargas, Taylor, Lux and Hernandez, not a lot of greatness here going up against left-handed pitching, particularly over the past month. If you take a look at Glasnow, you just sort of going with the pedigree, like you expect him to be strong in this start. It's a decent lineup for the Giants, but you do see that total and say to yourself, boy, it just seems like this game probably lends itself more to an under. Do I think the Dodgers win? Absolutely, I do. But the price point there of over 2-1, I don't know if I want to pay that. So a minus 200 plus price or higher, probably leave that alone. I think this is better off going under the total. If Wright can be average in this game, what do the Dodgers scrape out? Four, maybe five runs. I don't know how many runs the Giants are going to get. Suarez seems like a similar plane to last night, what we saw in that final score.
Yeah, the Dodgers won game one of this midweek set, a four-game set, by the way, so we'll continue tomorrow on a Thursday by a score of 3-2. Last night, 5-2. Shohei Ohtani had a couple of ribbies as well. Seven-day baseball games in afternoon hours on this Wednesday, including in the Twin Cities, where the Twins will host the Phils in the rubber match of this midweek set. Third and final game, Aaron Nola gets the start for the Phils. They're favored on the road to win this series and the rubber match. Of course, 3-0 yesterday after a great outing from Zach Wheeler. Can Nola match today for the Philadelphia Phillies?
76 degrees this afternoon in Minneapolis. You take a look at a wind blowing in 6 miles per hour. You also see the Phillies that struggled two nights before, struggled last night at the Ginza Plate. You were hoping they'd be able to break out today, but we'll see if that's the case. The lineup looks strong, or certainly probably will look strong this afternoon, but the focus again is going to be on Aaron Nola. Take a look at the last 60 days in Major League Baseball. Aaron Nola actually has some very good numbers, a 76 xFIP minus. Now you see the ERA at just over 4 for the past 60 days, which isn't great, but he lowers that with that analytical number, 3.03 xFIP. He should be fine against that Minnesota Twins lineup that I like a lot. But having said that, you're looking at Aaron Nola on the mound going up against Okert, who's due to start this game. There's much more firepower from Aaron Nola and Okert, but I do look once again, I hate to do this because I love to bet overs and RBI, but I'm probably looking at much more of an under in this game because, hey, the Phillies could break out at the plate. That's what they're waiting for, yes, but what have they told you over the past two nights that they're breaking out of anything at this point? Sure, they won the game yesterday, but 3 runs in the 9th inning, which means they spent the first 1 through 8 innings there doing nothing here. Give me the under in this game between the Phillies and the Twins.
Both games so far this week have stayed under what would be this total of 8. The Twins have played more of their games to an over this year than an under. Different story for Philadelphia. 53.1% of the games for the Fightins this year have remained under a total. To the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, we go next. Chicago won the opening game of this set on Monday, 3-1. Yesterday, Milwaukee responds, 1-0. Over the Cubbies. Today, as we shared earlier with Mark Zeno, Justin Steele gets the nod for Chicago. They're a home favorite near $1.50. Who takes the rubber match?
Yeah, if we're taking all the noise out of this matchup, which means the Chicago Cubs talking about selling their team off by the deadline and we're open for business, that's always tough to deal with. But Justin Steele's been a very good pitcher this year in Major League Baseball. Look at him on the season, Ben. 370 batters he's faced, a 121 ISO power number, and a weighted on base percentage of 264. If you limit that down to just the past 30 days, he's faced 134 batters. That 121 ISO lowers to an 095. That 264 weighted on base percentage lowers to a 246. I do believe you have the better pitcher on the mound once again, like I thought yesterday, because there was no offense from the Chicago Cubs. If the Chicago Cubs get offense today, I'm willing to back them here, even with all that outside noise of the deadline coming up and a team that's not expected to do anything down the stretch. I still do think Justin Steele's the better pitcher on the mound today, and I think the Cubs can win this ballgame.
The Cubs 5 games below .500 right now, 49-54. Milwaukee a 5-game lead over St. Louis for that number one spot in the National League Central. The Royals had won all 4 games since the All-Star break, sweeping the White Sox, as you should, over the weekend. And then Bobby Witt Jr. continuing that on Monday against Arizona. The Diamondbacks snapped that 4-game win streak for KC yesterday. In also all 4 of those games, Bobby Witt Jr. had at least 3 base knocks yesterday, just 1 for 4. An opening double, though, in the bottom of the first for an RBI. KC a favorite today at home, -126 against Arizona. What do you like at Kauffman?
I actually like Kansas City a bit here, but if you're taking a look at Michael Wacha on the mound, last 60 days for him have been pretty productive, an 86 xFIP minus number, an ERA of 2.27. That's not bad, but here's what you're going to have to go up against, which is a problem. The Arizona Diamondbacks offense, Ben, going up against right-handed pitchers over the past month, it's been stellar. Outside of Perdomo, who's due to bat ninth today with an 044 ISO power number, every other player in that lineup anticipated today at least a 161 or higher, with many guys, including Carroll, Marte, Peterson, and Walker, sky-high numbers with Suarez and Thomas. It's going to be a tough outing today for Kansas City, but I think Waka's up to the challenge, and I think Kansas City can win this one.
How good has Bobby Witt been in July? He's -175 to report 2+ total bases for MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An American League Central matchup tonight in Cleveland. The Guardians yesterday, a victory over the Tigers desperately needed. They had dropped 8 of their last 11, 3 straight. They win 5-4 over Detroit, who was on the opposite end of that equation. The Tigers still, with the loss yesterday in the land, have won 11 of their last 15, trying to near 500, trying to stay at least somewhat competitive in the AL Central or American League wild card chase, trying to hold on to Tarek Skubal. You would hope Detroit does that. Tonight it's Tanner Bibee getting the start for the Guardians. Jack Flaherty, who might also be an expendable trade piece here at the deadline for Detroit, on the other side. Cleveland minus 144 against the Tigers. Total at 7. Low number tonight in Cleveland.
And it should be. And also, I do get a kick out of, like, you usually win with starting pitching, right? And Flaherty's been a very good pitcher. And same thing, obviously, with Tarek Skubal. Yeah, let's get rid of both of those and rebuild. Like, what are you rebuilding into? Hopefully, you can get a guy like Jack Flaherty. Hopefully, you can get a guy like Tarek Skubal, which is, you know, another, you know, conversation for another day. But if we're looking at this game itself, Cleveland versus Detroit, I have 25 pitchers that are ranked today, Ben. Last 60 days, minimum of 20 innings pitched. How about this? There's 25 on the card today. Number 4 and number 5 going toe-to-toe today. Jack Flaherty here coming with a 74 xFIP minus, an ERA of 2.04 over the past 60 days, and a nice, crispy xFIP number of 3.04. Bibee, right behind him, 76 xFIP minus, 3.26 ERA, but a 3.14 xFIP number. So if we're looking at both of these teams here, 75 degrees the first pitch, wind not really helping out that much. Left foul pole to right foul pole, probably leaning on more of an under today in this environment, because I think both of these pitchers can get out and deal.
What about in the 6, where it's the Blue Jays and the Rays? Tampa, a victory yesterday in the opening game of their set against their divisional opponent. The Blue Jays looking like they are going to sell ahead of the trade deadline. Things are bad right now in the 6. They're now 10 games below 500. The Rays, though, one game above 500, 51-50. It was the Lowe-Lau combination yesterday. Josh Lowe, an RBI to start. Brandon Lowe, a 2-run shot. The Rays never looked back, winning 4-2. So as we look at today's game, Tampa, a slight road favorite in Toronto, minus 118 on that money line. Total has dropped by a hook. It's now at 8. What do you like in the 6?
Yeah, last 60 days, Zach Eflin with a 90 xFIP minus number, which is very good. Again, that 100 level is the average. Anything above, not so good. Anything below it, you're certainly doing your job as a Major League Baseball pitcher. But also over the past 30 days, Zach Eflin's faced 101 batters here, an ISO power number of 112 and a weighted on base percentage of 294. That's certainly manageable. And in the lineup today, Springer, Horwitz, and Guerrero, 448 weighted on base percentage, 362 and 423. Those guys should be able to lead the way here for Toronto. But let's flip it over to Tampa Bay. The offense never looks good on a day-to-day basis. Like, you're never saying, like, hey, you know what? The reason why I like Tampa today is the fact that their bats are hot. I do think they can do a little bit of damage here against Yuriel Rodriguez. Not a lot of starts under his belt. Only 62 batters faced over the past 30 days. But if you take a look at some of those raised ISO power numbers, the right-handed batters, he certainly gives that up to a 233 clip. I just think the better team today is Tampa Bay, and they are on the road as a slight favorite. And I agree with them being the slight favorite. And I'll take Tampa Bay today to knock off the Toronto Blue Jays.
The Rays in peculiar territory, kind of, because they're a game above 500, 51-50. If that was the case in the National League, they'd be in that mash trying to contend for the final two NL wild card spots. A game above 500 in the AL right now, 4.5 games back of KC. The Royals currently occupy that third and final American League wild card spot, and a couple of teams in front of Tampa even to get into American League wild card contention. Now, our final game to preview here, it's Baltimore and Miami. The O's lost yesterday in Miami to the Fish. The Marlins victorious 6-3. Baltimore has dropped 2 in a row, but the Orioles favored today in South Florida to even out this midweek set. Minus 138 is the number. Baltimore is the favorite.
Gotcha. And the reason I was doing a double take there, because on one of my screens, it has Corbin Burns as a starting pitcher. So I'm like, that should be 238, not 138. So now we have, I believe it's McDermott in the lineup. I don't have the numbers up on him, but I'm assuming he's not a great pitcher, because theoretically you're taking, you know what? Hold on here real quick. I got two different pitchers. So Cabrera now on the mound, updated from Miami. So I hate to do it this to you and sort of make my way through it, but the numbers I have completely different than the pitchers that are up right now. Yeah. So we'll leave it there. I'm not going to stray in the wrong direction. Like, oh, great pitcher there, because the two pitchers I had up this morning handicapped, no longer the pitchers in this game. So good luck to everybody out there.
Chase McDermott being called up from AAA Norfolk today to get the start. The O's seventh best prospect in the farm system and still a favorite over the worst team in the National League. That's the Miami Marlins, 36-65. Colorado, one more win than Miami. Same amount of losses at 37-65. And that goes to show how bad the White Sox are with only 27 wins. The two bottom feeders in the NL have at least 36 wins. Miami 36, Colorado 37. And Chicago's only got 27 for the worst record in all of MLB. The Red Sox back into the win column, snapping a four-game skid after the All-Star break, by the way, with a 6-0 victory over the Rockies. Quickly here, DRS, let's take a look at what we're going to see tonight in Anaheim. I guess it's actually some day baseball. It's in Seattle between the Angels and the Mariners. Luis Castillo gets the start, minus 174. And in Oakland, the A's at plus 138. The A's and the Angels have taken both of the first two games against, respectively, the Astros and the Mariners. So still just a one-game difference in the American League West. Seattle still in front.
Yeah, does anybody want to win this division, which is the same thing we've been saying since, like, back
tied,
in May.
By the way, for the top spot.
Respect. Yeah, you see the Texas Rangers right below them on a couple-game win streak and closing that gap fast at this point. So it's something to keep in mind, because you would figure Houston playing Oakland, hey, pick up a couple games and no big deal. Seattle playing Los Angeles, pick up a couple games there, no big deal. And it hasn't been the case here. So we are going to come down the stretch, and certainly those numbers for the Texas Rangers are going to come lower and lower and lower at this point, where they were like an 80-1 to win the World Series. And that number certainly is going to move down if they get closer with a legitimate chance now to actually win the division. What a crazy West at this point, but again, everybody doing their part to not try to actually win the division is pretty impressive.
The third and final games of both of those midweek sets in Seattle and in Oakland, part of the day baseball slate that we have out on the West Coast. DRS, as always, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the money line on this Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, back here on the Early Line. We're a month out from college football. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of the Early Line. It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. On August 24th, 2024, the college football season officially begins. That means we are exactly 1 month out from the start of the 2024 college football campaign. Earlier in the show, to start off hour two, we talked to Rhett Lewis live in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days. It's talking season, both in the Big Ten and in the ACC. And on the opening day of ACC Media Days, both Florida State and Georgia Tech were at the mic and at the podium. We'll talk about FSU and, of course, the disaster of how last year came to a close for the Seminoles and what their expectations are for 2024. But let's just bask in this moment, if only for a second. 1 month away from the start of a new college football season. Yes, it's week zero. It's not till the following Saturday. That's our first full Saturday of the 2024 college football campaign. And even this week zero Saturday slate to kick off a new college football season, not nearly as good or illustrious or jam-packed as we have seen even in years past. We only have three games that feature an FBS program, but one of those over in Aviva Stadium, the Dublin debut in Ireland, an ACC opener between Florida State and Georgia Tech. The Seminoles a 12.5-point favorite against the Yellow Jackets, the over-under 54.5. There will be a ton of national attention on Florida State, not only for sky-high expectations as the preseason favorites to win the ACC title for a second consecutive year entering 2024, but because of how last year came to a close. And that was Florida State, a perfect unbeaten campaign topped off with an ACC championship victory over Louisville. but they did so with a third-string quarterback in Brock Glenn. Of course, their leader, their quarterback, Jordan Travis, injured in their second-to-last regular season game. Because of that, admitted by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, Florida State was a differently constructed team, and they did not reach the College Football Playoff. I was mad. A lot of people were mad at it, because in the 10-year history of the four-team format of the College Football Playoff, Florida State was one of 15 undefeated Power 5 conference champions. Florida State was the only one of that group of 15 that was an undefeated Power 5 conference title winner to not reach the College Football Playoff because their quarterback was not there. Not despite what their resume said or how they matched adversity each and every time following the season-ending injury to Jordan Travis. But that's old news. That was 2023. It's a different team here in 2024. And Mike Norvell Seminoles are a favorite to win the ACC at a plus 170 number. Florida State has the highest win total in all of the ACC, 9.5, and the over has the juice. Other teams in the conference, Clemson and Miami, have a win total of 9.5. But the under has the juice. Mario Cristobal at the podium today for the Hurricanes in Charlotte during ACC Media Days. I have already bet Florida State to win the ACC. The schedule is difficult for FSU in terms of their overall outlook, but the best path for Florida State to a College Football Playoff to make good on what was taken from them last year is the champion of the ACC once again. Why do I say that? 12-team expanded College Football Playoff. Shouldn't there be more opportunity this year for the Seminoles than there was even a year ago in the four-team format? 7 at-large berths. Not so much because of how difficult the schedule is overall for Florida State. And that's going to be a common thread this year for the ACC and the Big 12. The two teams in the Power Four, or the two leagues in the Power Four conferences that trail behind the Big Ten and the SEC. It will be a fascinating case study in this first year of a 12-team format to see how many of those at-large bids go to the Big Ten and the SEC versus the ACC and the Big 12. Florida State, though, by virtue of winning the conference, would earn one of those 5 automatic berths for the 5 highest-ranked conference champions around the country. So if you're betting Florida State with some vengeance and maybe a chip on its shoulder entering 2024, take the Seminoles price to win the ACC. And it starts with that Dublin debut. But one final point just to handicap in this game. Brent Key, back at his alma mater, the head coach now entering his second full year with Georgia Tech, has this program trending in the right direction. A bowl victory last year. And as an underdog, they're getting 12.5 points against FSU in the Irish opener. Darn good last year. 7-2 against the spread. The early line is back tomorrow, starting at an 8 a.m. Eastern time start time on a Thursday on Sports Grid. Talk to you then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.